The following has been recorded in conjunction with OU Torah, the Daf HaShavua Foundation, and Congregation Beth Aaron. We continue now, Masechus Beis Daf Gimel Lamed Aleph, halfway down the Amud. We had previously seen the Gemara present four different explanations as to what is the basis of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding a Beis HaShanol de B'Yomtif. Rav Nachman had explained that the reason why an egg which is laid on Yomtif may not be eaten on that day is because it is muksa. We had then seen that Rabbah explained that such an egg lacks the proper hachana, the required preparation necessary, namely that all foods that are going to be eaten on Shabbos and Yom Tov must be prepared beforehand on a day of Chol. We had then seen the position of Rabbi Yosef, who explained that an egg which is laid on Yom Tov may not be eaten on that day because it is included in the Gezerah of Peres HaNoshrim, of fruits which have fallen from a tree, which are forbidden that day because of the Gezerah Shemiyala B'Yitlosh, that it may lead to a person climbing a tree and picking fruits. And finally, the position of Rabbi Yitzchak, who said that it is Gezerim Shemashkin Shazavu, that just as Chazal forbid one from eating juices which have flowed on their own from fruits on Shabbos Yom Tov, that the Gezerah applies to a Beitza Shenolda as well. The Gemara now continues and tells us, Va'af Rabbi Yochanan, Sover Gezerim Shemashkin Shazavu, that Rabbi Yochanan as well held like Rabbi Yitzchak, that the reason why an egg may not be eaten when it is laid on Yom Tov is Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. It is part of this Gezerah that just as a person cannot drink the juices that flow on their own from fruit, so too an egg which is laid on Yom Tov is forbidden for consumption. Now, unlike the previous case, where we've seen Rabbi Yitzchak had stated his position, Rabbi Yochanan does not state this explicitly, that he holds of the Gezerah Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. Rather, the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yochanan Rami, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Umishani. We can derive this by way of a contradiction which Rabbi Yochanan raised within the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan raises a question. He also resolves that question. But by virtue of the fact that he raises this concern in the first place, enables us to derive from his words that he, like Rabbi Yitzchak, held that the prohibition of eating an egg that is laid on Yom Tov, according to Beis Hillel, is because it's part of the Gezerah Mishamashkin Shazavu. Where do we see this? So the Gemara now continues and presents us with the background to this contradiction. Tanan, on the one hand, we have a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, which tells us, Ein sochtin es haperos lahotzi mehen mashkin, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it is prohibited to go ahead and to squeeze a fruit in order to extract their juices. As we explained earlier, schita is an issa d'oraisa, it is a biblical prohibition, which is a tolda of dash. It is a derivative of the av malach of dash of threshing. Just as when it comes to threshing, a person may not remove the wheat from its shell, from a shaft, here as well, taking the juices and extracting them from their source of origin, the fruit, would be an iser the araisa. Again, that's what we call schita. Then continues the Mishnah, the im yatsu me'atzma nasurim. Not only is it prohibited to squeeze a fruit in order to extract its juices, if the juices flow on their own, it is still prohibited. Now over here, there was certainly no malacha that was performed, and so the Isser over here is only an Isser de Rabbanan, that it is prohibited to drink this because, as we had seen previously, Igzera Shema Yischot, but nevertheless it would be prohibited even though one did not do anything to extract these juices. That's the position of the Tanakhama. Continues, the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Yehuda said, this is not always the case. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo ochalin hayotzi mehen mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. These fruits that, as they were sitting there, juices flowed from them on Shabbos, what was the designation of these fruits? Im lo ochalin, if they were set aside for the purpose of eating, so then hayotzi mehen mutter, then anything that flows out on its own may in fact be consumed. Rashi over here explains, if my intention, my mindset, going into Shabbos Yom Tov was that I was going to eat these fruits, so then the fact that some juices flow out would not in any way whatsoever lead me to go ahead and extract more juice, because that is not my intention with these fruits. If im lamashkin hayotzi mehen u'asur, Rabbi Yehuda concedes that if in fact these fruits were set aside for the purpose of squeezing, so then for sure, if something comes out on its own, it would certainly be prohibited, because again, of the Gezerah Shema Yitzchot. So unlike the Tanakhama, who says across the board, without exception, any Mashkin Shezavu is going to be prohibited on Shabbos Yomtiv, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends what was the designation of those fruit. If they were for the purpose of eating, so then Hayotzi Mehen Mutter, and if it's Mashkin, if they were for the purpose of a drink, of squeezing, so then anything that comes out of them would be prohibited. That is the conclusion of the Mishnah. So comments the Gemara Alma, this proves, we see from here, Kol Ocholin Rabbi Yehuda, Uchva de Ifrasu. We see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, any time you have food that is designated for the purpose of consumption as opposed to perhaps some other use, uchva de ifrasu, then if something comes separated from that food, it is considered to be, as we saw this expression earlier on the Beis Amad Aleph, uchva de ifras, which means food separated from food. It would be like taking a slice of bread from a loaf of bread. There's nothing wrong with doing that. The entire loaf is prohibited, permissible for consumption, so too one slice of bread. So too over here, if we have fruits which are designated for the purpose of eating, so if juices flow out on their own, that's uchlad ifras. In other words, explains Rashi over here, this is not included in the Gezerah of Mashkin Shezavu. So Rabbi Yochanan understands that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Gezerah of Mashkin Shezavu as far as a Beis HaShenolda B'yamtif is concerned, because if the chicken was set aside for the purpose of eating, really conceptually it's no different than fruit which have been set aside for the purpose of eating, just like the mashkin shezavu are permissible to, if one is permitted to drink, to eat those juices. Here as well, there should be no problem whatsoever consuming an egg which is laid on Yom Tov. And the problem is, continues the Gemara, Urminhu, Rabbi Yochanan raises the following contradiction. Now, before we take a look at this next reference inside, we'll just say a couple of words of background. Two separate points. First point, we know that produce that is grown in the land of Israel must be tithed, trumos and maisos must be separated and given respectively to the Kohen, to the Levi, before a person can actually go ahead and partake of these foods. Those separations must be made before a person eats, once the separations are made, so at that point he can eat that. Before taking these separations, that food is called tevel. Now, we're going to learn later on in this Masechta that it is forbidden midrabanan to make these separations on Shabbos Yom Tov. One is not permitted to go ahead and actually be mafresh, truma and maestros on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the question is, what happens in a situation where a person remembers on Shabbos Yom Tov, I forgot to be mafresh, trumas and maestros, what are his options? So that is the subject of this Mishnah. Another point, just by way of background, and that is, generally speaking, outside the land of Israel, we are all familiar with the concept of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, that we keep 2 days of Yom Tov. The first day, which of course is mandated from the Torah, one day of Pesach, and then the last day of Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, etc. And then we have a second day, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, which was instituted originally Mishum Sveka Yoma, because there is a doubt as to what in fact is the real day of Yom Tov, and so therefore we observe 2 days outside the land of Israel. Now when it comes to the day of Rosh Hashanah, there is a dispute among the Tanoim as to whether the second day of Rosh Hashanah is considered, just like the other holidays, the other Yom Tovim, to be a second day which was instituted Mishum Sveka Yoma, in which case we view both days as having their own unique status. That would be called Shtei Kedushos, that you have Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni, which is instituted Mishum Sveka Yoma, and that's called Shtei Kedushos. Or perhaps there's a different way of looking at the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that it's not considered to be a separate Kedusha, but it is rather Kedusha Achas, also sometimes called a Yoma Arichta. It's like an extended long day. Instead of a 24-hour day, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered to be one halachic day, which lasts 48 hours. Now, the reason behind this is part of a greater discussion. Rashi gives us some background over here, but that's the general machlokas, that's the debate regarding the second day of Rosh Hashanah, whether it is considered to be Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushas. So over here, the Mishnah that is now going to be cited over here is going to be talking about what happens in a situation where a person begins Rosh Hashanah and recognizes, or remembers rather, that he forgot to be Mafish Tumas HaMaisa. So Odom Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, quoting this Mishnah from Masechus Rosh Hashanah, Masna Odom, a person can make a Tanai, a stipulation, he can go ahead and make a certain stipulation on a basket of fruit on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and then eat it on the second day. What does that mean? So Rashi over here explains the following. A person has a basket of peros that are tevel. Again, that the separations have not yet been made. And he forgot to make the appropriate separations beforehand. Utnan, we're going to learn later on, in Magbi and Shumos HaMaisus B'Yomtif. A person may not actually go ahead and make these separations on Yomtif. So what can he do? Ma'aser V'Yomtov B'Tnan. What he can do is he can separate on Yomtif itself and make the following stipulation. Va'omeh he'll say, Im hayom chol, if today is a day of chol, it's a regular weekday, ulemachar kodesh, and tomorrow, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, is really the only true day of Rosh Hashanah, so then, yiyu elu truma ma'isos al elu. So then I intend to make the separation today, and then he says, im hayom kodesh, if today in fact is Rosh Hashanah, so then, im b'dvarei klum, then please forget everything I just said, because I'm not permitted to go ahead and to be mafresh truma today. So he's going to make a conditional separation. And then v'noseim v'hen simon. What he's going to do is going to take something to mark these peros and come back to them the next day. Ulemacharas, tomorrow, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, chozer v'omer, he'll repeat the same stipulation. And he'll say, im ayom chol, if today is a day of chol, today is a weekday, in which case, etmol kodesh, yesterday was a day of kedusha, yesterday was the day of Rosh Hashanah, you elu truma lashar. So then, I intend to be mafrish my truma now. In my own kodesh, and if today, in fact, is the true day of Rosh Hashanah, ve'etmol chol, and yesterday was the day of chol, harei nasa truma me'etmol, so then I already took care of my tidings yesterday. Says Rashi, u'mimonav she'och niskanu, either way, he's taken care of his obligation. In other words, suggests Rabbi Yehuda, that if the person goes ahead and he makes this conditional stipulation on both the first and the second day of Rosh Hashanah, he would then be able to eat these peros on the second day, because either way he's covered his bases. Continues the Mishnah, V'chein beitza shenol d'berishon. Similarly, if an egg is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, tochal b'sheni, he can eat it on the second day. And the Gemara says, b'sheni in, b'rishon lo. Look, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the second day you can eat it, but not the first day. So we understand why you can eat it on the second day, because as we've seen already, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Rosh Hashanah is shtei kedushos. It has two separate, the days are both considered to have two separate statuses. They are two separate entities. And so therefore the fact that the egg is forbidden on the first day does not carry over into the second day. However, says the Gemara, why can't he eat it on the first day? After all, we had previously seen that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no gezeirah of mashkin shezavu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this would be called uchla de'ifras. So if the chicken was set aside for the purpose of eating, the fact that it laid an egg should not be a problem. The egg is just a piece of food that came from the greater whole. So Rabbi Yochanan raises this as a contradiction within the words of Rabbi Yehuda and says, what's going on over here? Why is it that in Masechet Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda over there seems to come to conclusion, kol ochalin in the uchla de'ifrasu, that any time you have food that is set aside for the purpose of consumption, something which is separated from that is permissible for consumption on that day. And over here, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah leads us to a different conclusion, that a Beis HaShanold on the first day of Rosh Hashanah would still be prohibited on that day and would only be permissible the second day. So what's going to be the resolution? U'mishani Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan answers this contradiction by telling us, Mukhlefes HaShita, which means that what we need to do is we need to reverse the Shitos, the opinions. Rashi explains that in the first source that we've seen, Masechet Shabbos, in fact, the Tanakhama is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. It is Rabbi Yehuda who says that across the board, im yatzu me'atmar asurin, mashkin shezavu is going to be prohibited, and it is the Chachamim who are going to say that there's a difference whether the food were la'ochalin or la'mashkin. And then continues and concludes the Gemara, de'kamarami luhu adadi, sh'maminah chad taimahu. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan raises this as a contradiction in the first place shows that according to him, it was for the same reason. In other words, the whole point that the Gemara was making over here was just like Rabbi Yitzchak held, that the reason why one may not eat an egg which is laid on Yom Tov is Mishum Gzeira Mashkin Shezavu, so Rabbi Yochanan holds the same thing. And how do we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds this? Because he raises this contradiction within the words of Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan raises this contradiction in the first place, shows that he held that there was that the Gezerub is Meshur Mashkin Shazavu. Rabbi Yochanan had this concern. He dealt with it by telling us L'chlefes Hashita. As we're going to see on the top of the next Dhamma, Gimel Amid Beis, there are going to be others who deal with this apparent contradiction differently and arrive at a less drastic conclusion than Rabbi Yochanan did and do not feel that we are forced to say L'chlefes Hashita. But either way, says the Gemara, clearly we see that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan raises this question in the first place, Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yitzchak held, that the reason why a Beis HaShenol B'Yamtiv is going to be Asur V'Achila is because of the Gzera of Mashkin Shezahu.